So, very good evening to you all, dear brothers in Christ. So today actually we had planned to take Richmond Lazarus, but unfortunately what has happened, we could not cover a few other points from the last week class. There are a few 3 points. So today we'll just try to cover that one. Then if we have time, we'll definitely go for the studying of Richmond Lazarus. So last week we studied about the dead Samuel coming to life. That is the first point, how we saw that that is not the real dead Samuel who came back to life. So we also saw the thing that that was done actually by a deception done by the devil. You see, who tries to personifies and imitates as if dead coming back to life. So the clear proof is that Saul saw nobody, and that is the clear proof. And moreover, if it was really the Samuel the prophet, then whatever he told should have come to pass. But whatever he told, so none of those things were exactly fulfilled. So some of the sons of King Saul were alive. So that's a clear proof. And we also saw a few other things also. And the second point what we saw is the thief, you see, the Mount of Transfiguration, where Jesus, along with Moses and Elijah, you see, they appeared and they were speaking to each other. And how come Moses and Elijah could come back to life, while the dead come back to life in the second coming? So that one we clearly seen from the scriptures, that you see, coming of Moses and Elijah was actually a vision. That's not a real thing. So vision is always, you see, not the real thing. So similarly, we have seen a lot of things in the Bible. A lot of visions are there in the Bible. You see, we studied the vision in the book of Daniel. We studied the vision of Zechariah, other things. So all these things are not realistic. Even the book of Revelation, you see, that's also a vision. That's not a realistic thing. So that clearly proves that that can't be taken as a proof to prove that they are actually alive. The third point which we saw was the thief on the cross. So where Jesus promised that you shall be with me in paradise. Today only you shall be with me in paradise. So we have clearly seen that the day itself, you see, the thief never went to paradise. Many people think that paradise is heaven. We have seen that paradise is not heaven. The paradise is the Edenic condition. So Jesus never went to Edenic condition, nor did the thief go that day itself, because Jesus was in the grave for 3 days. So Jesus could not make false promise. So if you clearly scrutinize here and see, you see, there, the thief never asked for repentance of his sins. Neither did he ask for forgiveness of his sins. You see, he simply said to remember him when Jesus comes in his kingdom. So Jesus's perfect answer would actually be, yes, surely I will remember. And that's what actually Jesus said, but in a different form. So there, if you see, there is a punctuation mark in original Bible. The punctuation marks are not there, but you see, if you put the punctuation mark after today and read, you see, the meaning is totally different. Verily, verily, I say unto you today, today itself, I'm saying unto you that you shall be with me in paradise. When Jesus promised the thief that day itself that you will be with Jesus in paradise. Okay, not that today only will be, you see. So we have seen that how Jesus, you see, comes at second coming, and the beautiful this earth will be made as a beautiful paradise, because we've seen that in paradise, you see, there is a fruit, a tree of life. That is what Revelation 2nd chapter says. And if you cross reference for that one, if you see Genesis 3rd chapter, it clearly says there is a, you see, a tree of life in the Garden of Eden. So that signifies the Garden of Eden condition, which will be restored when Jesus comes to the second coming. So thief was promised that he will get some privilege in his kingdom, not that he will be taken to heaven. So if that was the case, then if you repent at the last moment, if you go to heaven, that's what not the Bible says. You see, the Bible says that we need to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. Through much tribulation, we need to enter the kingdom of God. So, apart from that, there are other proofs which we need to scrutinize, which are taken as a proof that the soul is immortal. So, one of the proofs is that 1 Peter 3:18. Let us read 1 Peter 3:18. Ganesh brother, you there? Can you read the Bible? You are not audible, brother. Is it possible to read or?
Okay, I will read.
Okay, Stephen, brother, please. Read from the KJV version.
Yes, for Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. Being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit.
Continue.
But also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometime were disobedient when once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is 8 souls, were saved by water.
Very good, brother. Thank you. Thank you. So here, if you see, it says Jesus went and preached to spirits in prison. You see, so Jesus was put to death in flesh. He was quickened in the spirit, and in that spirit, Jesus went to spirits in prison and preached to the spirits in prison. So many people think that so many people are there in hell. So Jesus, before going to heaven, he visited this. You see, purgatory. Some people think it's a purgatory. Some people think it's a hell. And Jesus visited. You see them and preached to them, okay, and then he went to heaven. You see, therefore, you see, Jesus preached. Okay, Jesus has preached. To whom did he preach particularly? Did he preach to all the dead souls? You see, no. You see, the verse clearly says a different thing. You see, it says, Jesus went and preached to the spirits in prison. You see? And who are there? Who are the spirits? It says, these were the ones who were disobedient to God. You see, when Noah built the ark. Read verse 20. Stephen, brother. Read verse 20 again, brother, please.
Which sometime were disobedient, when once long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a preparing, wherein few waited. Wherein few waited in the, I'm sorry, that is 8 souls were saved by water.
Thank you, Buddha. So it says, who were disobedient, when it says during the days of Noah. And Jesus went and preached only to these spirits in prison who were disobedient during the days of Noah. You know, why particularly preached to the, you see, the spirits in prison who were disobedient during the days of Noah? If you ask this question, some people will tell, no, from, you see, Adam till Moses, there was no law at all. There was only conscience. So, whoever sinned against the conscience, they were all suffering in hell. You see, and when the law was given by Moses, then only, you see, the people will be judged by the law. So, before the law, there was no law at all. So, people will be judged by conscience. If they did a good thing as per the conscience, they will go to heaven. If they did evil things as per the conscience, they will go to hell. So, many people think that all the people from Adam till Moses who violated God's you see, conscience, they have gone to hell, and it is to these spirits that Jesus went and preached. Okay, this verse clearly says one thing, not that he went and preached to the spirits who were disobedient from Adam till Moses. No, 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 it doesn't say so. It says only to the particular people who were disobedient during the days of Noah, not after the days of Noah. You see, of course, from Adam till Noah, there were people disobedient. Is it sufficient that you preach only to them? What about the people who were disobedient after Noah days? They were also disobedient, no? You see, even then, there was no law. So why particularly preach only to these people only? That is injustice, no? We should all go and preach to people after Noah's days, till Moses also, no? If this is true, dear brethren, it was not so. Why? Because there is some problem in understanding of this verse. You see, what does it say? It says, Jesus went and preached to whom? Let us read again. You see, it particularly says the particular category who sinned against God in Noah's days. Now, who are they? Let us read that verse again. Sarji brother, please read verse 18, brother. 1 Peter 3:18, brother.
For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit.
Continue.
By which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison.
Spirits in prison. You see, it never says that the soul's in prison. It says only spirit in prison. It never said that this went and preached to the souls in prison. If it would have said the souls, we could have clearly accepted that one. That means there are dead souls who are in prison. So Jesus went and preached. But it says spirits. You see, there is a lot of difference between spirit and soul. We have seen that one in the subject elaborately. Now, who are the spirits who are disobedient particularly during the days of Noah? You know? Who are they, brethren? You know, we have studied this one in the three world class. You see, when Adam sinned, you see, because of the Lucifer becoming adversary of God, then God gave the in charge of this earth to the angels. You see, but during that time, angels were given a special privilege where they can manifest in the flesh. And whenever they didn't want, they can demanifest and go back as a spirit being. So these spirits, what did they do when they came in the flesh? They actually committed fornication. You see, they married the children of a woman, and they beget giants who began to dominate the entire earth. These are the fallen angels who sinned against God in the first world. So what did God do? God decided to destroy the first world by the flood. During the Noah's days, these were the spirits that were disobedient to God. And only these were destroyed in the flood. Therefore, then a huge flood came. What happened? All the human beings were contaminated with the blood of humans and angels. They perished. And the giants also, they perished. What about the angels who had manifested in a human body? When the flood came, they changed over as spirit being and they escaped. And where are they? They are bound in earth atmosphere. Let us read 2 Peter 2:4, brother. 2 Peter 2:4. Peter, brother, can you read 2 Peter 2:4? Peter, brother, you are not audible. Okay. Binod, brother, can you read 2 Peter 2:4?
Okay, sir. 2 Peter 2:4. For if God spare not the angels that sin, but cast them down to hell and deliver them into chain of darkness to be reserved unto judgment.
Angels, he's speaking about angels. God did not spare the angels when they sinned, but cast them down, bound them in chains of darkness, chains, prison. They are chained in prisons, not literal prison. That means they are not free. They are bound. And it is to these fallen angels, the evil spirits that Jesus went and preached. Now, where are they? They are in the earth atmosphere. They are bound there. They can't come in the flesh as they did in the first world. They are restricted. Read Ephesians 2:2. Ephesians 2:2. Stephen, brother, can you read Ephesians 2:2, brother? Stephen, brother?
Yes. Ephesians 2:2. But in time past, ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience.
See, the spirit. You see? The spirit, the prince of the power of the air, the evil spirit. These are the spirits who are bound in earth atmosphere. You see, dear brethren, you see, it is to these spirits that Jesus preached. You remember, these were the evil spirits that possessed human beings in the first world. Why? Because these evil spirits did not have human body. You see, human body to manifest and do sinful activities. Hence, they are actually selecting other human bodies who are having weak willpower and possess them, use their body to do all their evil activities. You see, hence, these were the evil spirits that were troubling mankind in the first world. Hence, Jesus cast out all these evil spirits. And Jesus, as soon as the evil spirits saw Jesus, they did not speak any words. They clearly identify who is Jesus, that thou art the Son of God. These are not any dead souls. These are the fallen angels, the evil spirits. Read Mark 1st chapter 23 and 24. Mark 1st chapter 23 and 24. Saiji brother, can you read Mark 1, 23 and 24?
And there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou came to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God."
You see, a man with an unclean spirit. It doesn't say unclean soul. You see, spirit. So these are the fallen angels. As soon as they saw Jesus, they ran away. They clearly identified, they clearly said, "We know who you are, Adohata, the Holy One of God, the Son of God." Dear brethren, it is to this fallen angels, the fallen evil spirit, that Jesus went and preached. How did Jesus preach? Did he go to heaven on the way? Did he make a stop and assembled everybody and preached? No. Jesus' life itself is a beautiful preaching. You know, which is the greatest sermon? You know, the greatest sermon is the Sermon of the Cross. Jesus himself was a bright morning star. You see, along with other morning star, Lucifer, they both were in the creation process with all the angels. They had created this earth beautifully along with the angels and other morning star, Lucifer. But what happened? When Lucifer was given the authority, he misused and sinned against God. When other authority was given to the angels, they also misused. When they manifested, they lusted of human. They lusted for women, you see. But when Jesus, who was in angelic nature, when he manifested in the flesh, he did not do any sinful activities. Neither did he desire any of the sinful things which the fallen angels desired, brethren. But rather, Jesus had sympathy and Jesus sacrificed his life. He suffered so much of sufferings, even death on the cross. What utter shame, you see. And seeing all these things, the angels were made to think. How? See, after death of Jesus, everybody thought that Jesus is gone forever. But no, after 3 days, Jesus was resurrected from the grave. Therefore, 1 Peter 3:18, it says, Jesus died in the flesh, was raised in the spirit. He is raised as a spirit being. And this was a clear proof for the angels that if we are faithful to God till our death, God would never leave us. God would bless us, you see, and God would resurrect and give them a higher position than before. That's what God did to Jesus. And this has made really some changes among the fallen angels since then. You see, dear brethren, this was the greatest sermon, brother, dear brethren, that Jesus ever preached. You know, the Passion of Christ. As we see Passion of Christ, our hearts melt down, seeing the suffering of Christ. That movie is just for a period of 2 hours. Think about Jesus' life for 3.5 years, 33.5 years. You know, after seeing Passion of Christ, many people accepted Jesus as the Savior. Then imagine the condition among the angels. If they have seen Jesus literally face to face, have seen everything what Jesus suffered for 33.5 years, don't you think there would have been some changes in them? Yes, surely there would be some changes in them. Therefore, it is to these evil angels, fallen spirits, that Jesus preached. Therefore, you know, the Bible says that we had made spectacle unto man and angels. Read 1 Corinthians 4:9. 1 Corinthians 4:9. Binod brother, can you read 1 Corinthians 4:9?
Okay, sir. 1 Corinthians 4:9. For I think that God hath set forth us the apostle last, as it were appointed to death. For we are made spectacles unto the world, and to angel, and to man.
We are made spectacle. You see, we are made spectacle to whom? We are made spectacle unto the world and the angels. That means the world is seeing us and learning the sense. The angels are seeing us and learning the sense. They are seeing these sinful people are trying to leave the sinful condition and want to be holy to God and remain faithful to God, to please God. And God is lifting them up so high. If God has blessed them so much, definitely, even if we also repent, God would definitely forgive us. Since this, you see, process or changes in them would definitely come. Therefore, Jesus preached by his life, not literal sermon, dear brethren. So, this can be taken as a proof that the souls are immortal, but souls are mortal. The souls die. Okay, dear brethren. So, these evil spirits are not the evil souls of any dead person. Okay. Now, let us read other incident in Acts 10, chapter 17. Acts 10, 17. Stephen, brother, could you read first Acts 10, chapter 17, verse 10 first, then verse 17. Then. Acts 10, 11 first.
Acts 10. Verse 10. Acts 10, 10.
No, no. 10, 11. 10 chapter, verse 11.
Okay. And saw heaven opened, and a certain vessel descending unto him, as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth.
Continue.
Wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air.
See? Yeah. Peter saw something that there was a, you see, a great sheet descending from heaven. And what was there inside? All the four-footed beast. Animals were there in that sheet. So many people think that, oh, animals are there. So souls are there with us. Animals itself is there means human souls is also there. In heaven, you see, that means soul also doesn't die. Soul is immortal. So many people, they take this one as a proof that soul is immortal. Now, what is this one? What Peter saw? You see, Peter, what he saw here was a vision, not a literal thing. You see, read verse 17, brother. Stephen, brother, verse 17.
Now, while Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean, behold, The men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate.
You see, Peter doubted and thought, what was this vision? So here what Peter saw was a vision, not a little thing at all. So vision, how do we have seen, is not a little thing at all. This is a vision. Through this vision, Peter was guided to go and preach the gospel to the Gentiles. What was there in the sheet? If you see, we can read from verse 12 to 15, 16 later. All the unclean animals were there. Peter was told to slaughter the unclean animals and eat it. Peter says, no, Lord, I haven't done this one in my life. I can't do it. Three times he's repeated it himself. So after three times, he was wondering, what is the meaning of this vision? So immediately who came? From Cornelius' house, the first Gentile convert, a messenger had come to pick up Peter. So as he went to Cornelius' house, the gospel was preached to whom? A Gentile. So through this vision, God showed that the unclean Gentiles are like unclean animals, but God had purified them. Though they were unclean all these days through the sacrifice and death of his son, by the blood of Jesus, they are all purified. So he can go and preach the gospel to them. So since then, what happened? The gospel, the door of the gospel was opened to the, you see, Gentiles also. So this is a vision, not a little thing. Okay. Now, sixth thing is Revelation 6 chapter verses 9 and 10. Revelation 6 chapter verse 9 and 10. Binod Brother, can you read Revelation 6 chapter verse 9 and 10?
Okay, Revelation 6:9-10. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the soul of them that were slain for the word of God, for the testimony which they held, and they cried with a loud voice, saying, "How long, O Lord, how holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth?"
Thank you, brother. So here you see in Revelation 6 chapter, it says, you see, they were souls, dead souls on the altar, you see, who were slain for the word of God. You see, so the dead souls, the slain means dead. So dead souls were under the altar, it seems. Now, where is the altar? We have seen that one is in the tabernacle. So under the tabernacle, how much souls can stay there? Only few souls, 7 by 7 feet. How many souls can stand there? Okay. And it says, they cried to the Lord. So when their souls are dead, how can they speak to the Lord? So many people take a proof that, brother, see, souls are there, dead souls are there, they speak, they are in the below the altar, they are asking God for justice. Okay. See, when did this happen? If you see, it says when the fifth seal was opened. That means before this one, there are four seals that were opened. Now, what actually happened in the four seals? We should study that one also, no? Then we study the fifth seal. Then we will understand what is the meaning of this one. See, let us see what actually happened when the fourth seal was opened. Brother, read verse 7 and verse 8, brother. Binod, brother, you can continue, please. Sixth chapter, verse 7 and 8.
Okay, I'll read.
Sixth chapter, verse 7 and 8.
7 and 8, okay, sir. The first angel sounded, and there followed hell and the fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth.
Brother. Revelation 6 chapter, verse 7 and 8, brother.
Okay, 6, 7. Okay, sir. Sorry for that. 7, 8. And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, "Come and see." And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death. and hell followed with him, and power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth, to kill with sword and with hunger and with the beast of earth.
See, here it says, when the fourth seal was opened, you see, behold, a pale horse. Now, what is this horse? If you see from the verse 1 to verse 7, there are actually, you see, the color of the horses is changing. White, red, black, and pale. Now, why the color of the horses are changing? First of all, we need to study that one. Then, now, who was sitting upon that horse, it seems? He was death. His name was death, and hell followed him, it seems. Hell is a huge place of torment. How can it come behind a horse? Is it so easy? See, then this itself is a clear proof that this is not literal. Hell can't come behind a horse. Neither can death sit upon a horse. Then this is all symbolic meaning. This is all not direct language at all. Therefore, Book of Revelation itself is a total symbolic meaning. Where is it given in the Bible? Yes, it is given in the Bible. This is a symbolic meaning. Where? Read Revelation 1:1. Revelation 1st chapter, 1st verse. Saiji brother, can you read Revelation 1:1, brother? Saiji brother?
The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to shew unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John.
Signified. He sent and signified. Signified means what, sir? Signified. Sign language. So everything is a sign language. Therefore, you see, in Revelation, it says, there was a man who was clothed with white robe. You see, his eyes were fire. That means, in Revelation 1st chapter, I'm telling you, he was walking among the middle of the candlestick. You see, he had a white hairs. Sound was like a water sound. What does it mean? It's not neither is Jesus like this one. Does Jesus have full white hairs? And eyes full of fire? This is all not literal statement. This is all symbolic meaning. Each and every word has got a meaning. What is the meaning of hairs you need to see? What is the meaning of white hairs? What is the meaning we need to study from the Bible? Then we need to see what is the meaning of eyes. Then eyes with fire, what is the meaning of that one? Why white robe only? He has to put golden girdles is there, golden belt is there. Why? Then only we will understand each and everything. So similarly, when you speak about Revelation, 6th chapter, 5th seal, we need to study what are the other seals. What is the symbolic meaning of it? Each and every word should be studied from the Bible. For the Bible, Bible is a dictionary. We are going to study all these things in the coming days. But this is not a direct statement where we can take a proof that our souls are immortal. Soul is mortal. Soul dies. So, hence, this is not a proof at all. Okay. Now, next, very, very important point. Let us read Matthew 27 chapter 52 and 53. Stephen brother, can you read Matthew 27 chapter 52 and 53?
Matthew
27, 52 and 53.
27. Yes. And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Isn't
okay.
that?
Thank 52? You. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you, brother. So, here, what does it say? It says, the graves were opened. When actually he's speaking about the incident when Jesus died on a cross. So when Jesus died on the cross, if you read verse 51, it says the veil of the temple was open, it was torn, and immediately it says the graves were opened, and many of the bodies of the saints which slept arose, and came out of the graves. You see, when did they came out of the graves? Read that verse again, brother. Let us see. Read verse 53, brother.
And came out of the graves after his resurrection.
After his resurrection. That means they have arose, but when did they come out of the graves? After his resurrection. When they arose from the grave, they can come out immediately. No, why wait till the resurrection of Jesus Christ? You see, dear brethren. So, this is speaking about what? Because the many people think, but as soon as Jesus died, many of the Old Testament warriors were there, no? You see, they all came back to life. After the resurrection of Jesus, they also went with Jesus to heaven. They also went to heaven with Jesus. You see, dear brethren, what does the Bible say? When will the resurrection happen? When will the resurrection, when will the dead come back to life? Tell me, who is going to tell me? When will the dead come back to life as per the Bible?
At the second coming?
Yes, at the second coming of Jesus. You see? Read 1 Thessalonians 4:16. Saiji brother, can you read 1 Thessalonians 4:16, brother? Correct.
For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first.
Then only the dead in Christ shall rise first. The Lord shall descend from heaven. When Jesus returns the second coming, then only the dead will rise first. Christians will rise first. Then, how come before this one, these people came out of the graves? Now, who are these? First of all, we need to see who are these. Because this is speaking about the incident that actually happened after the resurrection of Jesus. Okay. Now, where did Jesus die? Jesus died on the Mount of Golgotha. What is the meaning of Golgotha, you know? Golgotha, the word means a place of skull. Read Matthew 27:33. Vivek brother, can you read Matthew 27:33, brother? Vivek brother, you are there? Matthew 27:33.
Brother Raj, I think he is somewhere occupied. So.
Okay. Sorry. Okay, Vinod brother, can you read Matthew 27:33?
Okay, sir. 27:33. And when they were come unto a place called Golgotha, that is to say a place of skull.
That is to say a place of skull. That means what? A place of skull means, you know, actually, the place of Golgotha, where Jesus died, below that mount, they were actually lot of caves. You see, lot of caves. You see, and there some people used to live there. You know, that is the reason. When from far, if you see that mountain, that is to be like a place of skull. Skull means what? You see. Skull, empty skull, if you see, what is there? Ear on hole is there, no? So similarly, if you see from far, it was just like a skull. Lot of holes were there. You see? Now, what are these holes? These are caves. You see? You can see in the photo, now. This is the actually image of Golgotha. It really resembles correctly the place of skull. Hence, it is given in the Bible that is a place of skull. Not skulls were there. So, from far, if you see, a lot of holes or caves were there. Now, why these caves are there? Now, what is actually this one? You know, this is the caves. This is the place where actually the, you see, lepers were actually staying there. You know, We know very well that leprosy was a incurable disease during the days of Jesus. They were not allowed inside the city. You see, they are to be outside the city. And Golgotha was also not inside the city. It was outside the city of Jerusalem. So, there, below this mount, in these caves, these lepers were actually staying there as the reason they were not allowed inside the society. Remember, you see, whenever Jesus healed these lepers, what did the lepers do as soon as they saw Jesus? They cried for help. And what did Jesus say to them? You see, Jesus said, go and show it to the high priest and offer the sacrifices which was given as per the law of Moses. So, whenever Jesus healed a leper, he was supposed to go inside the city and show it to whom? Show it to the high priest. And where is the high priest? High priest is in the temple. Okay? So, here also, the lepers were actually the people who were staying in the caves. You see? And it says, you see, Matthew 27, it says, they came out of the graves. Correct? No? Matthew 27, 53. You see? 27, 52. Can somebody read Matthew 27, 52? Anybody? Matthew 27, 52.
And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose.
See, here, one problem is that if you tell these are the lepers who are living in the cave, some people tell, brother, this is given of graves. Okay. Now, olden days, how was the graves? Today, how is the grave? There's a lot of difference between the grave of those days, grave of these days. Read Matthew 27:60. Stephen, brother, read Matthew 27:60. How were the graves of those days?
And laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out in the rock. And he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulchre and departed.
It was hewn in a rock. It was like a cave. Remember Lazarus? How was Lazarus raised? He was not buried. He was put in a tomb. It was like a cave. So entire Golgotha was like a tomb. All the lepers were treated as dead. They were living there. Hence this verse, Matthew 27, it says, the dead came back to life means, who are they? These are the lepers who came back to life after the death of Jesus. You see, hence they came to the city and showed to many people. Why show to many people? If the leprosy is there, if it is cured, as per the law, they have to go and show it to whom? The high priest. Now, where is the high priest? In the holy city, Jerusalem. Therefore, read Matthew 8, chapter 3 and 4. Binod, brother, can you read Matthew 8, chapter 3 and 4?
Okay, sir. Matthew 8, 3, 4. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was clean. And Jesus said unto him, see thou tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift, the Moses commandment, for a testimony unto them.
See here, what did Jesus say? Jesus said, tell this one to no man. Why? Because lepers were totally outcast. If somebody comes inside the city, they will stone him to death. Because that was a very contaminated disease. It will easily spread. Therefore, Jesus said, don't tell to anybody. Now, who has to give you a certificate to go to the house? High priest. So, immediately go to the priest and do the things which were written in the Moses. It is comes in the books of Leviticus, the law of leper. You see, read it. So, a lot of tests has to be done by the priest. He has to give a certificate that he is cured, completely cured. Then only he can go to the home. Therefore, Jesus said, go and show it to the priest. Similarly, even king also, you see, King Uzziah was a leper and he lived outside the city. Read 2 Chronicles 26:21. Sahi ji, brother, can you read 2 Chronicles 26, 21, brother?
And Uzziah the king was a leper unto the day of his death, and dwelt in a several house, being a leper, for he was cut off from the house of the Lord. And Jotham, his son, was over the king's house, judging the people of the land.
You see, clearly, even though he is a king, he should be outcast. So nobody will ever. So these lepers during the days of Jesus were living inside those tombs, which were actually like grave. Whatever somebody gave, they ate and just were living dead. So these are the people, you see, when Jesus was coming into Jerusalem on the way, they cried to Jesus. Remember the 10 lepers whom Jesus healed? Remember the verse which we just now read? What did Jesus say? Please go and show it to the high priest. Now, where is the priest? Priest is in the temple. Now, where is the temple? Huh? Where is the temple? Which city? Where is the temple of Jerusalem? Where was the temple during days of Jesus?
The holy city of Jerusalem.
Very good. You know, the Jerusalem was called as a holy city. Temple itself was called as a holy city, you know. Read Matthew 4 chapter. Matthew 4 chapter verse 5. Stephen brother, Matthew 4 chapter verse 5. Read what is the meaning of holy city.
Matthew 4.
5. 4 chapter verse 5.
Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple and saith unto him.
See the holy city. In the holy city, what is there? Temple. So temple, where is the temple? It is in the holy city. Therefore, you come to Matthew 27 chapter. What happened there? Read verse 52 and 53. Sai Ji brother, can you read verse 52 and 53? Matthew 27 chapter 52 and 53.
And the graves are opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose.
You see what happened? There was a great earthquake, and when the earthquake came, what happened? All the dead, the lepers who were in the grave, who were like living in the tomb below Golgotha, you see, they came back to, you see, they arose, you see. Then what happened, brother? Next.
And came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many.
After the resurrection of Jesus, that means 3 days they were in the tomb only. After 3 days only, they realized that they were cured and came out of the tomb. Where did they come directly? To the holy city. Because in the holy city only was a temple where they can go and show it to the priest. Hence, they showed to many. You know, what actually happened there? When Jesus died on the cross, we know very well, Jesus was severely persecuted, he was severely wounded. He was whipped, you see, heavily, and his body was completely covered with wounds. And when Jesus died, after his death, there was a heavy rain. God showed his anger in various ways. You know, Bible says there was a thick darkness on the whole earth, you see, for 3 hours, you know. Read verse 45, brother. Can somebody read Matthew 27:45? Vinod, brother, can you read Matthew 27:45?
Okay, sir. Matthew 27:45?
Yeah.
27:45. Okay, now from the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour.
So you see, from the sixth hour to ninth hour means what? From almost 3 p.m. in the afternoon till 6 p.m. in the evening, there was huge darkness. Now, in the afternoon, can darkness come? dark clouds, can it come? No, if it comes, it means it's going to rain heavily. That is what actually happened. When Jesus died, immediately the veil of the temple torn apart. There was a great earthquake. You see, read verse 51, brother. Verse 51.
51 also?
Hmm.
Okay, 51. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent.
See, that means there was an earthquake. You see, that veil was opened, rocks were rent. That means all the lepers were in that Golgotha caves, they all came out. You know, when the heavy rain came, what happened actually? The blood of Jesus had washed in that rainwater and it dripped down upon the people who were living in the caves, in those holes. And it had so much of power that all the lepers were cured. And as they realized after 3 days, because they could not come frequently out of the caves, people stoned them, so rarely they would come. So after 3 days, that means after the resurrection of Jesus only, they came out and they realized they were totally healed. So hence they came out to the holy city and showed it to many people. Now, do we have a proof for this one? Yes. There is a clear proof for us. Where? In the film Ben-Hur. You know, have you seen, how many people have seen Ben-Hur film? It is actually based upon the writings of Josephus, a famous historian who lived during those days. You see, he wrote about Jesus Christ. In this film, it is beautifully shown how by the blood of Jesus, you see, the lepers are cured, who are living actually below this Golgotha. I'll show you the clipping of that one. You can see. See, when Jesus died, there was a great cloud and all darkness and all. After his death, what happened? The rain came. You see, the rain got mingled with his blood, and his blood flowed all over. You see, and what happened? You see, their blood, as soon as they fell upon their body, you see, their leprosy was totally cured, dear brethren. So, you can go and watch it on YouTube also. This film is there. It's a banner. It is actually based upon the life story during the days of Jesus. This was a literal, real story that happened. Okay? So, this is what actually Jesus is mentioning here in this point, that these lepers who were like dead, as soon as they were cured by the blood of Jesus, they came to the holy city and in rejoicing and happiness so that they can be reunited with their family, you see, and offer sacrifices and return to their family. Therefore, this is not speaking about the dead people coming back to life, because Bible can't be contradicted. Where scripture says that they can't come back to life until Jesus' second coming. Other scripture saying that they already resurrected. So, dear brethren, so these proofs are very clear. The souls die. So, none of the souls go here and there. You see, until second coming of Jesus, they can't come back to life at all. See, you can see very clearly in this clipping that how the blood of Jesus has mingled with water and cured all the lepers. See, and we might wonder, is it really so? Does really the blood of Jesus have so much of power? Yes, dear brethren, the blood of Jesus has so much of power. It can, you see, cure, heal anything, dear brethren, everything. See, Jesus had so much of power in his claws. Once a woman with continuous blood flow, she touched the hem of his garments. So immediately what happened? She was totally healed on the spot. If Jesus' cloth itself has so much of power, imagine his blood. So precious blood, dear brethren. So it fell upon the lepers and healed all of them. So, dear brethren, So we have seen all the contradictory scriptures till now that are used to prove the soul is immortal, soul doesn't die. So if you see all the scriptures harmonizing to divine plan and completely together as a picture, we clearly come to know that soul dies. So none of these things can be taken as a proof the soul is immortal. Now we are left over with only one thing, that is rich man and Lazarus. If the soul actually dies, then what is the meaning of rich man and Lazarus? So how did the rich man after his death go to hell? How did Lazarus, the beggar, you see, go, and how they were communicating each other? What is the meaning of this one? We will see next week. So until then, God bless you. So in spite of all these things, if anybody has got any questions, any doubts, they can ask. Anybody, any questions, any doubts? Anybody? Saiji brother, any doubts, any questions?
No, brother.
Okay. Ganesh brother, any doubts, any questions, you can ask. Or you can, no, thank you. Okay. Stephen brother, any doubts, any questions?
No, brother. Thank you.
So, okay. Next week, we will go and see rich man Lazarus and come. So, be prepared. So, please go through that scriptures which I mentioned in Luke 16 chapter. So, next week, we will see what is the meaning of that one. Okay. So, until then,